Oh, thank you, Father, for your mighty revelation. The word of revelation that is coming from heaven in these last days. Let your people be edified in the knowledge of your name. Amen. Now, we are going to continue with the message that we had last week on the standing up of the great prince Michael. It's one event that is sought after, and we have to understand what God is talking about when Michael stands up in our midst. It's a very great work that God is about to perform here among his people. He's performing here and he's performing in every angle of the world. Because this same message that I'm preaching is being preached in all the locations in the world. Those who have the same spirit will speak with the same tongue, the tongue of the Most High God.
Yes.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What is happening actually is that he's giving us illumination, he's giving us knowledge about the Son. God so loved the world that he's now illuminating us and causing us to come to the awareness that we are his very sons, that we are sons of the Most High God. Amen. Even Jesus Christ, the Bible says, being found in the form of man, being found in the form of man, he humbled himself, onto the cross and died to that identity. You see, that particular scripture says that Jesus Christ was not a man. He realized that he was not a man. He realized that he was not just a person born in a manger, a person born of a woman and of a man. He realized that he was not a man, but he found himself in the form of a man. And he now came to reveal the mystery of our own origins. Because in reality, we are not just ordinary mortal beings born of flesh and blood, like we have always thought. Many of us have connected our roots back to when we were born some years back on this earth. You see, but when you awaken in the spirit, when you awaken, you will begin to discover that identity after the flesh that you've married yourself to all these years is just a lie. You will discover that you all along have been sleeping in the grave. You've been sleeping and buried in your own body, which is the grave. You will discover that all along that you are living a dream life. You are like sleepwalking, not knowing where you are coming from and where you are going. Jesus Christ confessed before the people, "I know where I come from and I know where I'm going." And he told the other people that you people don't know where you come from, where you are going. You are just wanderers on the earth.
Yes, sir.
You see, but I know where I'm coming from and I know where I'm going to. I know that I came from the Father and I'm going back to the glory of the Father. Every child of God must awaken to this reality that Jesus Christ awoke to. And every child of God must make that same confession and say that I know where I come from and I know where I am going. I am going back to the glory of my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every Christ child of God must confess this thing. We must begin to deny the lie that we've lived. We must begin to speak the truth and walk in the light that God is giving us in this day. When we walk in that light, then we can find love, then we can find the perfection that we are seeking. The perfection that will never come by religious rituals. It will never come by all these things that we have seen men doing over the years. You see, all these things that men highly esteem, you know, in the way of religion and, you know, moralistic procedures and traditions of men, these things have no value in the sight of God. Jesus Christ said that those things are what they are, an abomination before God. They do not exist. These are the things that actually deceive men and keep men in bondage. The people that are actually, you know, that are really in deep, deep bondage are the people who have religious links. Religion is a very, very, very strong spell. It's a very, very powerful weapon of the enemy. Because when you walk in religion, your light is darkness. You think that you actually have the light, but you are walking what? In darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is religion. And if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, that's why it's difficult to ever preach to somebody who is religious. Because he's so, the mind is so, you know, clogged with his concepts and his beliefs. That when you come out with this kind of message, this truth, they will say, no, they've not heard this before, it cannot be true. You see it? But I tell you the truth, when we speak, we know where we stand when we speak. We stand upon the circle of the earth when we speak. We stand in eternity when we speak, because we speak the true words of God. It's what the Father has revealed to us that we speak. We do not speak things for our own gain, or for profiting things in this world, or to gain things in this world. We preach what the Father has told us, because our reward is with the Father. Our reward is the glory of the Father. So that's why we must preach the truth, not minding what men say. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when you speak the truth, some men might leave you. Jesus Christ says one thing. He says, I know all of you will leave me, but my Father is with me. When you begin to walk in the light, the men begin to hide. They begin to hide behind rocks and behind trees and say, hide us from the glory of the lamp that is seated upon the throne. That lamp that is seated upon the throne is to be revealed in us as we are waking. Hallelujah. Because there's a lamp personality. The lamp personality on the inside of you is the perfect man, the innocent seed of God in which you are generated in the beginning. But that man was slain. He was killed. He was slain in the Garden of Eden. You see, but that slain lamp is about to rise again.
Amen.
And he's coming back to his throne. But he needs some help. In these last days, Angel Michael is already in our midst standing. And he's speaking the words of eternity. He's coming out to, you know, to fight on behalf of the saints. Angel Michael, Michael means one who's like God. That is the meaning of Michael, one who is like God. It's actually the Spirit of Christ that is standing up on the midst, on the inside of each and every one of us, and arousing us to awaken from what? From the dust. Because in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel said, when the great prince Michael stood, those who were sleeping in the dust awoke, arose, and the wise shone like stars in the firmament. Stars, light beings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People who are light beings. Pure light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. These are people who are in the image of God, who walk in the truth, who walk in the reality of who they really are. These are people who have discovered themselves back in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
They no more walk after the flesh. They have risen from the dead. It is the dead that walk in the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Angel Michael stands. The Christ stands up and he shouts. That's why Jesus Christ says the hour is come. It has come now. If you have ears to hear, you will discover that the hour has come. The hour is not tomorrow when you die. The hour is not tomorrow when China drops a bomb in America, or America drops a bomb in Israel, or whatever. Or Israel drops a bomb in Palestine, and all that kind of stuff.
Iran.
The hour is now. If you can hear the voice of the Son of Man, if you can hear the voice of the great prince standing in your midst, you will begin to awaken from the dead. You begin to awaken from the dust consciousness. You begin to awaken to realize that you are the glory of God. You begin to awaken to realize that you are covered with the goodness of God. You are encompassed with the Lord in your front, your side, your back, and everywhere. And the glory of the Lord is your red ground.
Amen.
You begin to discover that all things have been given to you for your pleasure. You begin to discover that everything is under your foot for you to dominate. Isn't that how God created man in the beginning? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. When God created man, God said, let us create man in our image. And let him dominate. Let him have under subjection everything under his foot. Let him rule. You see, that is power in the likeness of God. Seeing man was seeing God. It's like looking at God in the mirror and seeing the image of God. That's what you are looking at in man. You see, that was what God created. God did not create what you are seeing now. What we see in this world is man in a fallen state. Man who is dead in his sins and trespasses. His trespasses is the sin where he transgressed by changing his form to gain this world. He changed his form, his spiritual image, his form in likeness of God, to that of a mortal man, a man of the dust, the man of the flesh, to gain this world. And in the process, he lost his glory. What shall it profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? You see, the dead are those who think they can gain this world. The dead, they take up their flesh personalities. You know, a spirit cannot own anything. You know that?
No.
Can God come down to say he owns the house?
No.
No. See, this is the mystery here. So if you want to gain the world, you have to put on the flesh body.
Yes.
And when you put on the flesh body, you lose your glory.
Glory.
You see it? It's a very tricky thing.
Very.
Very tricky thing.
Very.
You notice that this was the same temptation that they tempted Jesus with in the garden, in the wilderness. That same temptation they tempted Adam with. The devil tempted Jesus, remember?
Yes.
When he showed Jesus the glories of this world. And told Jesus, if you just worship me, if you just bow down to me, I will give you the glories of this world. Do you know how you bow down to the devil? You don't have to go to some kind of shrine to bow down to the devil. You bow down to the devil by simply conforming yourself to your flesh and blood identity. Amen?
Amen.
That is how you conform yourself to the devil.
Yes.
But Jesus Christ resisted it and stood his ground as a spiritual being. He stood his ground as a man of the spirit.
Yes, sir.
And said he will not do that. That he will not, bow down to Satan. You see it? For the deceitfulness of the glories of this world.
Yes.
You see it? The deceitfulness, the deceit is that man thinks that he can do what? He can gain the world. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That was the temptation of Adam. Adam was what? Was tempted by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Remember? What happened to Adam? Look at it, it's beautiful. It makes you wise, intelligent.
Yes, sir.
You see, but when you try to be wise, to descend from your place in God, to gain this world, you lose everything. You only crash and go down that miry clay. The psalmist calls it the miry clay. In Africa, they call it poto poto.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yes, you go down the and it's a continuous process.
Yes.
Have you heard of quicksand?
Yes.
Quicksand is that sand that. Have you seen it? It pulls you down. There's a gravitational force. You cannot actually. It's difficult to get pulled out. You can't come out when you get that quicksand.
Yes, sir.
That is how man is constantly going down into death. Man is perishing. That's why the Bible says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever should believe in him will not go down.
Amen.
Will not continue going down.
Oh, yes.
As you believe in the son and conform yourself to the son, You will be lifted out of the miry clay, and your foot will be set upon the rock of ages. That's when, you know, everything will be put under your feet. Dominion will return to you. Amen. So, Angel Michael stands up to release, to set the people of God free. You have shadows of Angel Michael when Moses came up to release the children of Israel. Remember, when Moses came to set the children of Israel free, that's what you are seeing. There is a picture, it's a shadow of Angel Michael, it's a shadow of the Christ, the Spirit of Christ coming to set the people free. You set them free so that they will come and worship me on my holy mountain. You see, when Moses, you know, spoke to Pharaoh, he said, set the people free so that they may worship God, they may worship and serve God on his holy hill, and they may have a feast unto God in his, on his holy hill. You see, this is something that, you know, God is intent for each and every one to deliver us from the power of corruption, from the power of sin, so that we can now rediscover our innocent nature. Because on the inside of every man, there is an innocent man. There is an innocent person, perfect. On the inside of every man, no matter how bad he may look, no matter what he might commit on the outward, on the inside of him, there is still that image of the living God. You see it? So God, Angel Michael comes and, you know, he delivers his people. Those people who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see it? You know, remember in the days of religion? We were taught there is a book somewhere in the sky. A big book, you know. And when you die, you stand before the book and, you know, they open the book. And one angel with glasses, you know, will look at the... we look at your sin. Yes, you look at your file, you know. And they say, oh, you did this, you did that. Oh, okay, you are not worthy, you go to hell.
Yes.
See, those are fables of religion.
Fire.
Amen. Those are, amen. They are the teachings of, you know, religion. Actually, you are written in the book of life when you abide in Christ. See, not a physical book anywhere. You see it? We people are books. You know, people are books. Spiritually speaking, you can be a good book, you can be a bad book. But we all are inscribed in Christ. When we walk in Christ, we are inscribed in that book called Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So let us move on. So it says that those, as we are working from the dust, this is Daniel chapter 12, they shall what shine in the firmament like the stars forever and ever.
Amen.
It talks of a place where they go high above every principality and power, high above all the problems of this world. A place where nothing can touch your peace anymore. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a realm you come to where you are all powerful, ruling and reigning in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's another place in the Bible where the angel Michael was mentioned. That was in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7. It's a revelation that John, the apostle, you know, saw when he was caught up in the spirit. Now, this particular revelation talks about a war that was in heaven, a war between God's angels and the angels of the devil. We're going to break it down a little tonight and let us understand what God was trying to say by this particular prophecy. Let us understand what God is doing in this hour so that we will not, you know, this salvation will not pass us by. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Of course, it's not one place in the sky somewhere. It talks about a realm of elevation. Even Jesus, when he was here on earth, he claimed that he was walking in heaven. See, when Jesus was here on earth, he said, nobody has been to heaven except the Son of Man who has been... Who is where? Who is in heaven? Who is? He was talking about the presence that he was standing in heaven as he was here on earth. You see, Paul said it even in his writings that, you know, we are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. The heavens talk of the high places of elevation in the spirit, in the high realms of elevation in the spirit, you know, where you are in the heavens, you are above. You see it? And you have different realms in the heavens. So there was war in heaven. This is Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was there found any more in heaven. Neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let us stop now. Now I think you can see what is happening. You see, there was war in heaven between Angel Michael and his angels, and the devil and his angels. These are two camps. You know, there are always two camps in the Bible. There you have the camp where you have light, and you have the camp where you have darkness. You know, it's a war between these two camps, these two realms, the realm of darkness and the realm of light. You see, and this war actually takes place over us, over we who are to inherit the salvation of God. The war is taking place, the Spirit of Christ is standing up. Why do you see, how do you think, what is happening now when you are seeing lots of gifts being manifested, the spiritual gifts, you know, Spirit of wisdom and revelation? There's a war taking place already in the heavens. You see it? And you see, the war is intended to cast down Satan, to cast down the devil. Remember, look at what he says. He says that the devil, that old serpent. Could you remember the old serpent? Do you remember the old serpent in the Bible? Which old? There's one serpent, one famous serpent. Yes. In the Garden of Eden. That same old serpent. That same serpent that tempted Adam in the beginning. You see it? The Bible says that they fought against Angel Michael and his angels, and this satanic host called, you know, serpent, the devil and Satan, they were cast down from heaven. You see, these things, God is casting these principalities and powers, these satanic forces, from within each and every one of us. It's the power and the grip that they have on God's people that is what being cast down. Amen. Look at what it says that the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the world. You see, it's a continuous thing, which deceived, it's a continuous process. These are the forces of darkness that continuously deceive men and cause men to walk in darkness, that cause men to walk in unbelief, that cause men to be, you know, encompassed with beliefs that, you know, overshadow their true identities. You see, the belief that we are born, that we are flesh and blood, the belief that we have some kind of, you know, location or some kind of origin down here on earth, the belief that we are this or we are that, the belief that God is very far away, far, far away from us, and that we must make sacrifices to Him, burn incense, pay tithes, clap hands, you know, kneel down. All those kind of, you know, religious concepts that have been inscribed on the inside of men. You see it? That tell us that we are unworthy sinners. You see it? That God is a different entity from us and we are different from God. You see, these are concepts of the devil that have what? Denied us the power to rule and reign the way God caused us to rule and reign in the beginning. You see, God created Adam with power. God created man to rule and to dominate. You see, but what we are seeing today, is this what we call domination? Man is now being dominated by the creature, no more being a dominator. Why? Because they have lost their power. You see it? They have lost their power as sons of God. They have lost their power to rule. They lost their power because they fell to the deceit of the devil. You see it? But now, this thing is being reversed because the devil is being cast down from our minds. Remember when Jesus Christ went to send the disciples to preach the gospel, and they came back happy that people obeyed, people believed. Jesus Christ said he saw Satan fall from heaven. You see, the other day I was ministering in a congregation somewhere in Milan, and you know the place moved that day. There was a movement of the spirit, and a sister came out and said she saw lightning fall from heaven. Another place again, you know, so another brother was preaching. We went the same message, and another sister came and said she saw lightning fall from heaven. That is talking about the principalities and power falling. These are the principalities and power, satanic influence, that have held us bound in our minds, in our thought faculties, on the inside of each and every one of us. So when the prince stands up in our midst, the spirit of the Christ stands up in our midst, it comes to loosen us from every grip, you know, of the devil.
Yes.
He has come to set the captives free. When you say he has come to set the captives free, where are the captives really? Where are they held captive? In your mind. The captivity is where? In your mind. It's your belief. It's the deception that has crept into this world and has denied you your power, who you are. You see it? So he has come to set the captives free by illuminating them. Jesus Christ has come in the form of, the great prince, to set his people free and to defeat death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the illumination, the understanding, the awareness, not just letters, the illumination of the truth that was from the foundation of the world that now delivers you from the grip of Satan. Amen.
Amen.
It is the truth. It is ignorance that allows the devil to reign. But when your understanding is illuminated, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen.
Amen.
It will set you free from all the bondages that have kept you in fear.
Amen.
All the bondages that have kept you in suspense, that have weakened your faith towards God. All those bondages that, you know, make you feel that you are not unworthy, or he has given you an inferiority complex. Many people are burdened. They have problems on the inside of them. They have deep problems. Some people cannot mention their problems. Some people have physical problems. Some people have psychological problems. And these problems have affected their lives. Why? It's because of their beliefs. Their beliefs. You see, they have worked. You see, I know some people who have, you know, come out in this world disabled. Probably they don't have certain capabilities like the other person may have. Maybe he has, you know, maybe one eye, isn't it? Or he's disabled one way or the other. And you know, somewhere along the line,
one leg.
Yes, the confidence has eroded. Somewhere along the line, he has felt wounded. You see, but when the truth begins to come, and you begin to see yourself as you are known of the Father, a son of the living God, nothing can put you down anymore. Amen.
Amen.
You shall know the truth. The truth has set you free. So, Prince Michael comes and he fights on our behalf. He fights by illuminating us with truth. And listen to our part. You see it? When we hear the truth, the devil can no more deceive you. You see it? No more can the devil in the form of religion. No more can the devil in the form of the pastor come and deceive you.
Yes, sir.
You know, and try to make you afraid. You know, and try to tell you that you didn't do this and do that. No. Amen.
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 You tell the pastor, get thee behind me, what? Satan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let us see. As Angel Michael set out to loosen the people of God, to set the people of God free, to deliver them, let us see what the angel says. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuses them day and night before God. He said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. You see, God is giving us here in these particular scriptures the key to our victories. You see, it, the only way that we can ever get our power restored back to us. You see it? The angel said, now is come. Now. You see, as this war goes on in heaven, as angel Michael comes forth, as the Spirit of Christ arises in our midst to set the people of God free, there's something that occurs. Now, the power that we lost in Adam is restored. The kingdom of God comes. Have you heard that prayer, that kingdom come?
Yes.
That kingdom comes. You are going to see the revelation, the manifestation of the kingdom of God's perfection come to light on the inside of you.
Amen.
Didn't Jesus Christ say it is on the inside of you? It shall come to the forefront, and you shall see yourself walking in the perfection of God's kingdom. You shall see yourself walking in the glory of God's kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a place of perfect rulership. It's a place of perfection. It's a place of strength. It's a place of salvation, where you are covered in the peace and in the glory of God. Nothing can take away your peace.
Amen.
Nothing. Hallelujah. Nothing.
Amen.
When you get into this realm.
Amen.
All things are beautiful. All things are lovely.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The world can continue. You see, the waves in the sea can continue to waver, you know, and to roar.
Amen.
You see, but the people of God shall be there in the eye of the storm. In perfect peace, and nothing shall touch them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says that what the accuser of the brethren is cast, and the accuser of the brethren is simply the devil.
Oh, yes.
That as you see, let me tell you something. All the devil does is to show you your fault, isn't it?
Yes.
All the devil does is to show you that you are naked before God. Who told Adam that he was naked?
The devil.
It's the devil. Because God told him. Who told you? God, I can't see. Who told you? What did you hear? Who told you this?
I don't know about this.
Where did you learn this, doctor? Who taught you this thing? When you go to your churches and to your systems of religion, isn't that what they teach you? That you are a sinner? Isn't it? The thing to call themselves sinner is to be humble.
Yes.
But I tell you, God has got a different meaning to what humility is all about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 True humility is denying yourself, your religious self, and picking up your true identity in God. That's true humility. Forget the humility that men portray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the accuser of the brethren is that voice that walks on the inside of your mind, trying to debase you before God, that tries to call you unworthy before God, that tries to make you feel as if you are a separate being, separate from God's glory, that you are not worthy of God's glory. You see it? It's a guilty conscience. It gives you that guilty conscience on the inside of you is the work of the devil. You see it? And men do not help. That's why at times it's always good to mind how you talk against your brethren. Mind how you talk against people. They're always good to be positive, because when you begin to accuse the other person, it's the devil at work. Amen?
Amen.
You are just being a vessel. You are allowing yourself to be used by the devil to bring down another brother. You see, the moment you stop pointing fingers and stop looking at the fault of your brethren, or what you call fault, that is when you begin to find yourself drawing nearer to perfection. Perfection is the ability to perceive the Spirit of Christ on the inside of your brethren. When you walk in that perfection, you cannot stumble. You see?
Yes.
So the accuser of the brethren is cast down. When God casts this accuser down from our minds, you see, this is the bruising of Satan under our feet. Psalm 91 says what? He shall put the devil under the dragon.
The dragon.
And the lion, you shall trample upon the lion, the dragon, the serpent. Who are these? He's talking about the accuser, the devil, the serpent that accuses you day and night. Every night you roll upon your bed, you wake up feeling miserable. You cannot see the sunshine of God's kingdom because your mind has been, you know, covered with guilt of unworthiness before God. Remembering things that you thought you did in years ago. When God does not see these things, hallelujah.
Amen.
God does not see you as a sinner. You must accept the free gift of what? Of righteousness. Accept it. Amen. That's why you see in the further in verse 11, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How do you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb? It talks about faith. You see, the blood of the Lamb is an alibi. It's a kind of token of guarantee, you know, a guarantee that we can use anywhere as we move on into glory. Because when you look at the blood, when you remember the blood, when you look onto the cross, what you should always remember is that your sins are what? Forgiving you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your sins are forgiving you. And this same thing applies to the whole world.
Yes.
Even though some people might walk in ignorance of this truth, this thing applies to the whole world. The Bible says that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, meaning that they had faith in the blood of the Lamb. It's our faith in the blood of the Lamb that will stand, give us a kind of foundation as we progress in God. Because when you remember the blood of the Lamb, you remember that your sins are what? Forgiving you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have forgiveness of sins. Those of us who are called. Amen?
Amen.
If you are called, you must recognize that you are forgiven.
Yes.
The gift of righteousness is a gift. That righteousness that you have is a gift.
Yes.
It's a free gift. It's not because of who you are, what you are, whatever. No, no, no. God has given it to you freely. That you are righteous.
Yes.
You are worthy. You are a son. You are not a sinner. You are perfect. God sees the perfection in you. God sees the son in you. He does not see any spot or wrinkle in you. You see it? It's your ability to have that faith in the blood is your first step to overcoming the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Don't let them deceive you that you must do this or do that in your church systems or in your systems of religion. Don't let men deceive you. The only thing that you ever need to do is to awaken on the inside of you and to believe the living God. That's all. There is no religious procedure or whatever. All these things are meant to do. All those are just people who are walking in the natural light, which is darkness. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Bible says they overcame him also by the word of their testimony, what they confess. You see, by the words of your mouth you shall be justified. By the words of your mouth you shall be what? Condemned. Your mind, your word is not just what comes out of your mouth, but also your mind. You have to begin to confess and walk talk positively, think positively concerning the truth. You must begin to walk and confess the truth. Walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. That is in the light that is being revealed. That is walking in the way you are known of the Father. Walking as the Son. Walking in as the Christ. Amen. No more walking after that old man of the flesh, which is the lie. Amen.
Amen.
That by the word of their mouth they were set free. You see, the words of your mouth is like a key. You know, the Lord will give us the word. The word is a gift.
Yes.
The word is like a key that will open gates. It will open gates and shut gates. It will open gates into glory and shut the gates of hell. You see, and nothing else against you. As you have those keys, confession and walk in faith, the powers of the devil, you are shielded.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because God does not withhold anything from any man. If you ever lack anything at all in this life, don't cry and say, God, why have you done this to me? You are the one who has not simply acknowledged what God has given you. Simple. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And another thing says that, and they love not their lives unto death. You see it? These men, they love not their lives unto death. You see, that means you don't. This is your life that we have in this life. We must die. If you want to live, you must what? You must die. Amen.
Amen.
Because this life that we have after the flesh is not a life. It's just deceit. It's just what I call, how do I put it? It's vain. It has no profit. One moment it is here, the next moment it is gone. It has no eternal value. You see, and as we live this life here, it's full of irritation, suffering, and bitterness. You see, you have to have a revelation of your true identity before you can now begin to shed off your old self. But it says, they love not their lives unto death. It talks about picking up your cross. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the book of Philippians, say, having been found in the form of man, he humbled himself, unto death of the cross. Like I told you, that shows that Jesus Christ in the first place is not a man. But he found himself in flesh and blood, in the form of a man. And he humbled himself in the cross. The cross talks about dying to himself. When Jesus Christ walked in the power and the glory of God, it was no more Jesus born in a manger. You remember when the mother came to him, and the mother was, some people said, look at your mother out there. He told her, I said, who's my mother? He turned to the disciples, these are my mother and my brother. These are the ones who do the will of God. You see, he was walking after the spirit, no more after the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. He was walking after the spirit. He told the disciples, he told the multitudes, the scribes and the Pharisees, before Abraham was,
I am.
You see it? But we know that he was born in a manger, so he was talking of another person. He was not walking after that man of the flesh. He was walking after the spirit. You see, he had shared his own identity. He had shared his own life. And he was living purely in the spirit. Living purely in the truth. Living purely in the way he is known of the Father. You see, and as Angel Michael stands in our midst, he reveals these things to us. It's a war in heaven that releases us from every shackle of bondage. Amen.
Amen.
And you see, you will discover that when you are loosened, there's a kind of opening that you'll be shocked at the kind of vast, unlimited resources that will be at your disposal. Amen. You will discover that everything is just out there to serve you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is why the psalmist says, God, what is man that you are so mindful of? That you have given him everything under his foot to dominate. That is the place, that is how you shall marvel when you discover this deliverance that is happening this day. So the major thing is that it causes us to awaken. Awake from the dead. Awake from your sleep. Awake from your slumber and come into the light. It's a realm of perfection, peace, joy unlimited. It's a realm where everything is possible. Everything is possible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a realm where you come to that by your mind, your thoughts, you begin to work wonders. You begin to recreate and create. Creative power begins to come back. You begin to remember that you are there in the beginning with the Father when you created everything in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.